chapter 1. We finished verse 7 last week. Start on verse 8 today. Appreciate we had a good crowd today. We had 380. That's the best crowd we've had in a long time. That's a good thing. Maybe that means all this sickness is dying down a little bit. I sure hope so. All right. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. He says, "For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." You might be asking yourself, why have you spent so much time on just a few verses? You spent 4 or 5 weeks on the first 7 or 8 verses of 2 Peter. But here's the point. The second most important thing that you and I ever need to know in this life, number one is how to be saved. Number two is how do I maintain that, right? If I know how to be saved and then I don't really understand what I've got to do to maintain that, to continue to be saved, then the first part's not going to matter, is it? You know, if I can be saved and then I choose to walk away from it, doesn't matter if I was ever saved. In fact, it's worse. Peter's going to tell us later. The latter end is worse than the beginning. It's worse if I am saved and I lose that salvation on the day of judgment. You see, a lot of people, in fact, most religious people, are teaching on a continual basis that you cannot lose your salvation. But Peter here plainly tells us you can. He says if you want to make yourself sure, if you want to make sure that you don't fall, this is what you have to focus on in your life. These are things that you have to do. So in other words, if I don't do these things, then there's a good chance I'm going to fall away. I'm going to lose my salvation. He begins verse 8. By saying these things, for if these things are yours, look back quickly as a way to review. We begin when all of these Christian graces by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is the basis of everything in our Christianity. That's how it all begins. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. He says faith produces virtue. Virtue is a courage to want to do what's right. Faith, I understand God is real. It motivates me to want to do what's right. Virtue helps me to realize I need more knowledge. In order to really want to do what's right, I've got to gain more knowledge. I've got to understand more about God. Once I understand more about God, I understand I have to have self-control in my life. I'm going to have evil desires. I'm going to have things that lust that pop up in my life. But I've got to learn how to hold those things in. When I learn to do that, I become more patient. I become more steadfast and able to endure whatever that God has thrown at me. And when I learn that, I realize I've got to be more godly in my life. I've got to be more reverent. We spent a lot of time talking about that last week, about how every action that we take, especially in our worship, has to be reverent before God. Reverent. We talked about the fact that in order for us to be pleasing to God, we learn through the Scriptures, I've got to have brotherly kindness. I've got to want to help you get to heaven. In turn, you're going to help me. And ultimately, I've got to have agape love. I've got to have a love that I want what's best for everybody, regardless of who they are. I've got to have a love like God has. And Peter says, if these things are yours, if these things are in you, some translations say. But you see, it's more than just a simple, this is something I did one time. This has got to be a permanent possession. He says if this is who you become, then you're going to be secure in your salvation. So you see, this is something I'm working towards in my life. This is the person I want or I aspire or I should aspire to be. I should aspire to be a person that possesses all of these qualities and that people would describe me as these things. You see, because I want to be assured, don't you? I want to live my life knowing that heaven is mine. I want to live my life knowing that when I die, no matter what comes my way, just like Reed said in his letter this morning, this physical things are not what's most important. We want to know we're going to heaven. Peter is telling us how we can know we're going to heaven, how to make our calling and election sure. He's saying if these things are yours, if they're your permanent possession, if these things abound, if they continue to multiply in your life, again, not something I do and I'm done, this is something that's going to continue to grow, that I'm going to get better at as time goes on. Shouldn't I get better at all these things? Should my self-control be better? Should my patience be better? Should my reverence grow as time goes on? Yes. If we don't grow as a Christian, you realize we're dead. Peter says, if we don't do these things and they don't abound, then we're barren and unfruitful. If we do them, we're not barren and unfruitful. But if we don't, we're barren and unfruitful. Let me ask you something. If we're barren and unfruitful, what happens? Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist is baptizing at the Jordan River. And the Pharisees come down and John tells them, he says, who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come? Who told you that Jesus is coming and he's bringing wrath and all the... Who warned you to do that? Because see, he knew that they didn't have the right motives. He says, bring therefore fruits worthy of repentance. Don't think that you're going to escape God's wrath if you don't bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. And he goes on to tell them, there's one coming after me. He's mightier than me. And I'm not worthy to unlatch his sandals. Then he goes on to say, do you guys realize that the axe is laid to the root of the tree? He's telling the first, do you realize that the Lord has an axe laid at the root of the tree? And he said, every tree that does bring forth good fruit, what happens? It's cut down and it's thrown in the fire, right? It's cut down and thrown in the fire. Any of you got an orchard at home? You got an orchard. I've got several apple trees. I had several other fruit trees, but several of them didn't bear fruit. You know what I did to them after several years? I was patient. I tried to work with them. If they don't bear fruit, what do? Yeah, firewood. That's a good point. You don't continue to mow around that tree that's not benefiting you at all, do you? You cut it down and you burn it. You get rid of it. Do you realize the same thing's true in Christianity? And that's what Peter's trying to tell us. If we're not coming to this person that God wants us to be, we're barren and unfruitful. In fact, we are useless to the Lord. And if I become useless to the Lord, what's he going to do to me? He's got the root at the axe of the tree and not going to help me. He's not going to help me at all. So you see, this is of utmost importance. He says, we've got to realize that we've got to come to that full, mature knowledge that God expects a Christian to come to. So therefore, we don't have to worry about those things. And again, it goes back to that knowledge. Verse 9, he who lacks these things, if we don't grow as a Christian, you say, I became a Christian when I was 16 years old and I've been in church my whole life. If I'm not a more mature Christian now than I was then, that's what Peter's talking about in verse 9. He who lacks these things is short-sighted. This guy's nearsighted. What happens if you're nearsighted? You can see what? What's right here. What about the back of the auditorium? Could I read the clock if I'm nearsighted? I used to be nearsighted, but I had that surgery. They fixed all that. I can see. But if I'm nearsighted, I can't see anything afar off. If I'm a nearsighted Christian, all I'm looking at is what? What's right in front of me. I'm not looking at judgment. I'm not looking at eternity. I'm not thinking about things in a spiritual sense. In fact, I just focused on the here and now. Does that describe a lot of people? Does that describe multitudes and multitudes of people that maybe they've become a Christian, but that's about the extent of it? Peter says that can describe us. And he says, you don't want to be that person. You don't want to be that person that is blind and he can't see. That person is spiritually immature. That person is biblically ignorant. Are there a lot of Christians today that are biblically ignorant? They don't know the Word of God. They've been a Christian 30 years. But they know very, very little. I have been amazed through the years, and I've traveled to so many places, and I've preached and I've taught and been in Bible classes. And sometimes I have asked the most basic questions. And you say, well, people get nervous and they can't answer. No, sometimes you ask the most basic questions and Christians don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. That's dangerous. That is dangerous. We talked about a few weeks ago, we used to be known as walking Bibles. But we're not known as that anymore. We've got so many things going on around us. Sometimes the Bible takes the back seat. Sometimes we become spiritually nearsighted. And all we're focused on is what is right in front of us. Peter says when we do that, we have forgotten that we were cleansed from our old sins. We've forgotten that. Is that possible? The religious world says, no, that's not possible. Peter says that's possible. Peter says that we can be like the church at Ephesus. Remember in Revelation chapter 2, Jesus comes to them and he says, hey, you guys are doing all these things, but I've got something against you. You've left your first love. You have left it. You have forgotten, in essence, what Peter's saying. You have forgotten that you're a Christian. You have forgotten what you should be excited about. All you see is what is right in front of you now. And he says, what do you have to do? He says, you need to remember where you came from. Isn't that what Peter's warning us about? Don't forget. You need to remember. We need to keep this thing on the forefront of our minds. We need to keep our eyes focused on the prize. In Luke chapter 9, verse 62, Jesus says, he who puts his hand to the plow and looks back, he's not fit for the kingdom of heaven. If you're not always looking ahead and focused where you need to be focused, he says, you're not fit. Paul said in Philippians 3:13, one thing I do, and not that I've already apprehended, but this one thing I do, forget those things which are behind, and I press forward to those things which are ahead. Verse 14, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. He says, I got to forget what's behind me. I can't focus on this worldly life. I've always got to keep my focus way out ahead. I've always got to be looking at what's going to be coming down the pipe. Because if I don't, I'm in trouble. You see, the person that Peter describing in verse 9 is that person that the seed were sown and they received the seed and what happened? Well, the cares and riches of the world came in and what did they do to the word? Anybody remember? They choked it. They choked the word. What happened? The person forgot because all he thought about was what's right here. Church, we've got to be very careful. When I say we, I'm talking about me. Sometimes I get so engulfed in my work as be my problem. I get so engulfed in all the things I have to do, I feel like I have to do, all these different jobs I've got going, and sometimes that becomes the focus of my life. I'm going to lie to you. Sometimes it does. And sometimes we need a good reality check, don't we? To wake us up to realize that cannot be the focus of your life. There is something far more important. Someday, this world's going to end, and it doesn't matter how many business ventures I have or you have or whoever else has. None of that's going to make a hill of beans, if you want to use country slang. Not going to matter. And if we don't keep that on our minds, we're in danger. Peter says, we can forget. Peter says, I don't want you to do that. In fact, he says, verse 10, therefore, brethren, because you can forget, he says, brethren, be diligent. Be diligent. If I'm going to be diligent, it's going to take some intense effort, isn't it? It's going to take some focus. I'm going to have to think about this thing over and over and over again. I'm going to have to remind myself. He says, you be diligent to make your calling and election sure. If Peter tells me I have to make something, then you realize what that means? It means I've got to do this for myself. So you can't save yourself. You're absolutely right. I cannot save myself. But God has set forth the plan, and I have to decide whether or not I'm going to do it. I'll give you an example. Let's just say next week the doctor tells me, he says, I got start feeling bad. I go to the doctor, and he says, you've got cancer. I said, oh, that's horrible. May happen. I don't know. And he takes me in. He says he schedules a surgery. He takes away all this cancer out of my body. He sends me home and he says, now listen, if you will eat right and you'll exercise and you'll stop doing whatever it may be that caused that, he says, you're going to be fine. That doctor's did all he can do for me, hasn't he? and the ball's in my court. So if I go home and I forget anything he says and I don't listen to anything he says and I go right back to doing whatever it was that I was doing that caused this, what's going to happen? Well, I've forgotten that I was purged from that cancer, and that cancer may come back on me. Isn't that the same spiritually? Sin is the worst kind of cancer there ever has been. And God, when we became a New Testament Christian, he removed that. He performed an operation made without hands, Colossians 2:11 through 13. He took it away, and he gives me strict instructions here. When this was done, you go home, and if you will do this, everything's going to be fine. Won't come back. Guaranteed. But you have to do this. So you see, I've got to realize. I understand that in the physical world. If I've got lung cancer and they cure it and the doctor says go home and never smoke again, if I go home and smoke again, I'm asking for it, aren't I? Same is true spiritually. God says this is what you do to keep this from coming back. Don't forget that. Be diligent to make your calling. My calling is what the gospel did for me. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 14, I'm called by the gospel. It calls me to faith. It calls me to salvation. My election is God chose me when I obeyed his gospel. Hebrews 5 verse 19, he's the author of eternal salvation to all those that obey him. He elected me to become a Christian when I obeyed the gospel, the calling that was delivered unto me. He says, I can make my calling and election sure. Sure. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. I can be assured of my eternal life. But it's based upon what is in the Word and whether or not I do what is in the Word. I've got to realize that. Man, these Christian graces are important things. Why I've spent so much time on them. We've got to put these things in our life. He says, if I'll do these things, if I will make this a continual practice in my life, he says, you'll never stumble. I think the King James says, you'll never fall. So you see, if I don't do those things, it's common sense. Yeah, I'm probably going to fall. I'm probably going to fall. I'm not going to keep what was offered unto me, what was so graciously given unto me. I don't want that to happen to me, and I don't want that to happen to any person in this world. He says, for so an entrance will be supplied unto you, he says, abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, just talking about the salvation. The word supplied, it's the same as the word add in verse 5. It's something that we talked about. That word add means it's something that builds upon one another, and it comes from the idea of a chorus and everybody's got their part. He says God will add all of those things that he promised. You do your part, he says God will do his part. But yet God will do his part abundantly, he says. Ephesians 3 verse 20, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9, for it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the thoughts of man, the things God has prepared for those that love him. God has done so much for us. And it is above and beyond anything that we can even fathom in our lives. And Peter wants us to realize that. He wants that to be our focus, our motivation. I want to do these things because of what God has done for me and what he has prepared for me. Oh, that should be great, great motivation. We've got just a couple minutes. And I want you to see, we'll finish through verse 15. He says, verse 12, for this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the truth. Peter says the same thing I could say to you guys. You know every one of those things. But Peter says, I'm not going to stop reminding you. He says, it's that important. He says, yes, I think it is right as long as I am in this tent to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Peter says, as long as I'm living, as long as there's breath in my lungs, I'm going to continue to tell you the same things over and over and over. Why? They were a very forgetful people. You and I are a very forgetful people. And I know that because I'm very forgetful. I told you sometimes we allow our focus to go in a different direction, and we cannot allow that. And Peter says, I'm going to make sure I continue to preach this until I'm dead. And once I'm dead, I'm going to make sure that those words that I have preached are written down and are preserved so you can share them for generation and a generation. We're out of time this morning. We're going to talk about that a little bit maybe next week, about how he talks about as long as I'm in this tent. What does he mean by that? I appreciate your attention this morning and hope to see you again tonight.